Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. And yeah, almost had another little heart attack here thinking they were going to mess things up because they were late on the queue tonight. So, hey, it went off, though. I'm your host, Beam Weeks. This is episode number 195. And with me is the dog catcher, the dog corraler, Mr. Stephen Gies. How you doing, Stephen? Did you corral the dog?
Yeah, I corralled the dog. Doesn't mean he won't come back and make some noise, but we're doing all right here. How you doing up there?
We're doing fine. We have to get a new chimney and a new roof, and that's a sizable chunk of money right there. So got to do it, though. Got to get it done. Other than that, nice weather and just having fun. Spring is here.
Yeah, got a couple of concerts coming this week. Looking forward to seeing John Batiste on Monday. John Batiste has really been rising the last couple of years since he got that gig as band director for Stephen Colbert, which he has since left and moved on. He's got an Oscar now. He just won an Oscar, won a Grammy. He's probably on his way to an EGOT. And Friday night, day after tomorrow, Black Jacket Symphony in Birmingham is going to do an all-Beatles concert featuring the Abbey Road album. And it's kind of hard to pass up Abbey Road, you know?
Yeah, those guys are good. Black Jacket Symphony. If listeners, if you haven't heard of them or seen them, Google them and check them out. These guys do whole albums, and they got a stable full of musicians that are perfectly matched for whichever album they're doing. I got to see them do Sgt. Pepper with the Alabama Symphony Orchestra, and also saw them do Pink Floyd's The Wall. And what they do is they do the album as it is, you know, in order, and then they'll take a break and do an encore, and it'll be a bunch of hits from other albums from, like, the Beatles or whoever. So, yeah, cool. I envy that you're getting to go see Abbey Road. Excellent album. So we do have news on the audiobook, the Young Knights audiobook by Cheryl Carpinello. That is coming out this week, most likely. It's in ACX's hands, and everything has checked out so far. So at any time, it's up to 10 days it might take. But just keep your eyes and ears open, and we'll let you know in the newsletter and on this podcast. But it's done, and it's worth checking out. Some really cool stuff there. So, and
yeah,
Cheryl's
going to
be the guest coming up here in June. So,
yeah. So, yeah, the joke around the office here is who had 2024 in the release date pool for that audiobook?
Yeah, that was a long one there. It's the longest one so far, but, you know, usually it's, you know, a month and a half, and we're done with them, and we got them out. But this one's been going in, it's been in work since last June, so we got it done, though.
Yeah, now, so for those of you who in May are going to be anywhere on this side of the planet, think about Colorado, good place to visit. Robert G. Williscroft is going to have a table at the Castle Rock Writers Book Fair on May 18th. So watch our newsletter for more details on that. But like I say, anywhere on this half of the planet, mid-May, you're going to want to catch that.
Yeah, always a good time. Mary Schmitz, Christmas in Evergreen, Heart of Evergreen, has been selected as a winner of the 2024 PenCraft Seasonal Book Award Spring Competition. Congratulations, Mary Schmitz.
Yeah,
excellent.
Congratulations.
Good work. Listeners, you want to call in and be part of tonight's show? We've got a great guest lined up. You got some questions. You want to ask him questions about his latest book. You want to just have a comment that you got. You can be part of this show. You can call or you can use Twitter, and here's how you do all that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest, or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Be there.
All right. We got another book coming out in the next couple of weeks. It's called Journey Through the Lens, Creative Guide to Nature Photography by world-famous wildlife photographer Angie Birmingham. And if you saw today's newsletter, and I hope you did, and if you didn't, then you need to be subscribing, people. If you saw today's newsletter, you saw that she's been in Costa Rica the last few weeks shooting birds so that she could add some more bird pictures to the last two chapters of this book. She's back. I've seen the birds. We put a couple of them in the newsletter. They're really cool to look at. So we're going to get this book put together in the next week or two and put it out there for the world to enjoy. Journey Through the Lens, Creative Guide to Nature Photography. Now, those of you who are like, you know, taking pictures of wildlife, but really don't know how to make them look like they're moving or how to put some blur in there or how to fade out the background or have the different effects and achieve the different looks, make things glow, light them up a little better. She explains how to do all of that in this book, shows examples, shows how to play with your camera settings, tells you how to experiment and become familiar with your equipment, and then shows you what you can do with it. So this is definitely a book to have for budding photographers and professionals alike.
Yeah, and when he said shooting birds in Costa Rica, he meant with a camera. So calm down, Frank, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's shooting birds for real. But, you know, check out, yeah, like Steven said, check out the newsletter. Those are some exquisite photos. I mean, they just are beautiful photos of these birds in action. And Angie is quite talented, quite skillful. We've also got another one coming soon, Pandemonium in Puzzle Town by B.A. Johnson. B.A. Johnson, she writes the sassy AME books. This is her third book with us, and it's coming soon. So keep your eyes on the newsletter and your ears on this podcast. And you're going to want to keep your ears on this podcast because we've booked her to be on this podcast here in a few weeks. So keep your newsletter in your – keep yourself subscribed to the newsletter, and if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, you need to get subscribed, and here's how you can do that.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? All right. Anna Morgan's The Nurses, Nurses of the Krieg, Book 1 is coming soon. This is a World War II thriller, and we just okayed the final book block for that, so keep your eyes and ears open for this one. This is, if you like historical fiction, this is a really cool book. So The Nurses, Book 1 of The Nurses of the Krieg by Anna Morgan, coming soon.
Yeah, so let's take a quick look at the top 25 print bestsellers from Fresh Ink Group over the past week or so. Remember, people, these are the print. I'm not looking at the digital ebook numbers. We have more than 212 different outlets. Trying to do that live on the air here and add this stuff up would just get silly. But I can see print numbers pretty easily. So we're going to look at hardcovers and softcovers for the last week or so. And right now in the 25 slot, we've got Larry Landgraf's illustrated picture book for kids called The Adventures of Ali Orangutan. It's about an orangutan who's captured and is being shipped by train to a zoo in the United States when he escapes. And he and his animal buddies go out and have quite an adventure. That's by Larry Landgraf, The Adventures of Ali Orangutan. Next up, we've got NBC newscaster David Carroll's I Won't Be Your Escape Goat, David Carroll's Homemade Social Media Blunders. Bean, that's a hardcover edition. That's that thing out there that keeps surprising me at how basically a light humor book that's going to be a quick read for people, and they're willing to spend the money to get that nice hardcover. So congratulations, David, on that. We got Andrew McGregor's How to Paint an American. That was edited by Beam. That's a cool novel. And Andrew's an interesting fellow. We're waiting on his second book. Should be here pretty soon. And then above that, we've got Robert G. Willis-Croft. He's got four Mac McNowell Mission books, and this one's Operation Whiteout. It's one of the middle ones. Not the first, not the last, but right there in the middle of the adventures. There's probably a couple more in this list as well. So check out Cold War submarine thriller Operation Whiteout, A Mac McDowell Mission by Robert G. Willis Croft. Drivers, Kenneth Lindquist has got books for you. He's got the Parents Edition of How to Teach Driving, and he's got the Instructors Edition of How to Teach Driving for people who want to become certified drivers and instructors. It's rather poignant for me because I got a grandson just turned 15, got his driver's permit, and I get to be in the passenger seat of my own car driving around town biting my fingernails. So this has been a lot of fun. How to Teach Driving Instructors Edition by Kenneth Lindquist is next on the list. Then we've got Robert McKenzie. Robert McKenzie's The Chair, Volume 1, Lightning, Thunder, and Glory. That's the first of four books in his chair series, and we are working on putting out five sometime this summer. So The Chair, Volume 1 by Robert McKenzie. Now here's another Mac McDowell Mission by Robert G. Willis Croft. This is the first of the four, Operation Ivy Bells. And get this, Bean, hardcover edition. People are buying those hardcover novels. Wow. I know when, you know, printing has gone up so much in the last couple of years that when we're making recommendations to our authors for pricing their books, we always kind of grit our teeth and wince because these prices just keep creeping up. And it's like, man, who's going to pay this kind of money for a hardcover book that's just a novel? Just a novel. Well, if it's Robert G. Willis Croft, it's not just a novel. Check out Operation Ivy Bells, A Mac McDowell Mission. Now, Dr. Helen Burrell makes our list again this week with American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain.
Yay,
and
Helen.
That's a couple years old now, and yet the issues in it are all the more relevant, probably now more than ever. So check that out. That's American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain by Dr. Helen Burrell. Now, here's a cool one. Robert G. Willis Croft again. The Star Child Compact, a novel of interplanetary exploration, which is the Star Child Saga, Book 3. And it's three out of four books. Used to be a Star Child trilogy. We've added the Daedalus Files in there as Book 2 now, and this is now a four-book series that has been updated, upgraded, and we've even added Scratch and Sniff for those people who are really into their 3D experiences. No, that's not true. Okay, now, Jan Sykes' paperback, A Beggar's Bargain. That's riding high up there on the list. That's only been out for, what, 4 weeks or so, Bean?
Yeah, about that, about a month.
Yeah, and what's Jan been doing about it?
She's been doing a lot of stuff. She just did a book tour through Missouri and did some shows there, book signings in the town that she set the book in that surrounding area. And she had a lot of success. I mean, just phenomenal success. Got to see her blog, the pictures and all of that. And we're proud of her. We're super proud of her. She's really going out there and making things happen. So, yay, Jan.
Yay, Jan. Yeah, we even hosted her on our blogs for a blog tour.
Yeah.
She's getting out there and getting the exposure. Next above that, we've got Janelle Jordan's Still Not Enough, Minority Millennials in the Workforce. And Beam, in the publisher database here, I'm seeing her first name appearing twice. So make a note of that. We need to go back and look at that and make sure the metadata is okay.
All right.
Above that, Celebrate 98, The Untold Stories Behind the Tennessee Football Vols 1998 National Championship. And that's by Off the Hook Sports editor Dave Hooker. And, hey, college football season's been over for a while, but this one is resonating, and there's a lot of college football fans, a lot of Tennessee football fans, and this book is still out there moving, and guess what, Beam? It's the hardcover.
Wow.
People are buying the more expensive hardcover collector's edition. Speaking of hardcovers, our next couple of books on the list are also hardcovers. Daddy Yo-Yo and the Legendary Marble Tournament. That's an illustrated chapter book for children about bullying by Dr. Janice D. Toney. And that book's been out, 4 or 5 months now, and it's still riding the lists and doing quite well. And here's one of our best sellers of the past year or so, the hardcover edition of Jerry Pate's Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat. Jerry Pate is a retired U.S. Navy lieutenant commander who's got 60 chapters of memoir stories to tell, some of them funny, some of them poignant, some of them just make you shake your head. But they're all interesting. They're all fun. And if you're interested in life at sea, life as a submariner, life in the U.S. Navy, life is just a raconteur and a Renaissance man. Jerry Pate's got the stories to tell. Submariner, 30 years of hijinks and keeping the fleet afloat. Now, we wouldn't be doing our top 25 without a food truck book, would we, Beam?
No.
This one is How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Georgia by A.K. Wingler. We can never predict which ones are going to be up on the list each week. She's got Florida, she's got Georgia, and she's got Tennessee. Any given week, one of them at least, if not two or three, is going to be on this list. We're back to Kenneth Lindquist again, the hardcover edition of How to Teach Driving Behind the Wheel, Lesson by Lesson, Instructor's Edition. And that's getting to be a regular on this list as well. Now, we mentioned that Operation Ivy Bells, a Mac McDonald Mission by Robert G. Willis Croft, hardcover made the list. The soft cover's here as well. And we're up here in the top 10 now. And that's the first of the four books in that series. So as people are discovering the series, no matter which book they discover, they're going back and starting again with book one. So that's a good thing about having a series. You get people hooked, and they got to fill in all the blanks, don't they?
Yeah.
Now, speaking of B.A. Johnson, whose book Pandemonium and Puzzle Town should be coming out in the next couple of weeks or so, right about the time Barbara guests on this podcast, Sassy discovers the AME Church. That's the first of her two Sassy books, and it's the paperback edition. Now, above that, we've got a Country Music Hall of Fame drummer. Can you guess his name?
I think it's Mr. Mark Herndon.
I think it's Mr. Mark Herndon. It's the paperback edition of his memoir, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. This is an excellent book. It's one that we just had a lot of fun working on. It's full of cool stories. I mean, if you want to see what it was like to live the dream, play to sold-out arenas all over the world, and just be up there doing what you always dreamed of doing when you were a kid, Mark tells the story. He's also seen it crash. He's also had to deal with personal demons. He's also had to deal with demons with other members in the band and stuff. But he takes the high road. He doesn't trash people. He tells it like it is. He takes responsibility for his own mistakes, and he gives a rare glimpse behind the scenes of that kind of life. And if you're the least bit fascinated by it, like I am, and I know Beam is, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by Mark Herndon is the book for you. That's the paperback edition at number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at number 7 on this week's list. Now, top 6, we got another Robert G. Willis Croft. The Oort Chronicles is another series of him. This is hardcore, otherworld sci-fi. And he's got four books in that series, working on the fifth one right now. And this one's book one, Icicle, A Tensor Matrix, The First Oort Chronicle. And get this, Beam, it's the hardcover.
Wow.
Our number 6 bestseller in print this week is a hardcover edition of a novel.
Congratulations,
Robert. You're really building a good fan base, and you're doing it by getting out there and meeting your fans and spreading the word, being accessible, and making appearances like Castle Rock on May 18th. Now, top 5. We've got a David Carroll book next. This is the paperback edition of I Won't Be Your Scapegoat, David Carroll's Homemade Social Media Blunders. I heard that one made you laugh, Beam.
It made me laugh out loud. So, I mean, seriously, that's a funny, funny book.
Yeah. Now, top 4. Again, Dave Hooker, Celebrate 98, The Untold Stories Behind the Tennessee Football Vols 1998 Football Championship. Actually, that's 1998 National Championship. I misread that. By Dave Hooker of Off the Hook Sports. So, paperback edition, collector's editions, both of them made the top 25 this week. Congratulations, Dave. Now that gets us to our top 3, Beam. Jan Sykes grabs the number 3 slot this week with her novel, A Beggar's Bargain, hardcover edition. Number 3 bestseller this week is a novel in hardcover edition by Jan Sykes, A Beggar's Bargain. That's the first book in her Bargainer series. She's working on number 2 right now. We're hoping to have 2 and 3 out later this year. That gets us to our top 2. Now, we've got a new entry, Beam. This book has only been out for a couple of weeks, hadn't made our list yet, and it's on it now in the number 2 slot. It's the paperback edition of Tina Reist's A Light in the Darkness, Words and Poems of Encouragement. Give us a sales pitch on that one, Beam.
Well, this is Tina Reese. She's a mentally challenged young woman. She attends my church, and she had put together some poems and whatnot, and she had kind of talked about wanting to maybe do something with them. So we did her a little favor, and we put this book together. And she's over the moon. She really is. She went to one of the local stores, and she was telling the guy there. She knows the guy. She was telling him that, you know, her book's out, and she's, you know, trying to make a sale. And he said, "I already bought it." So she's like I said, she's over the moon. She's thrilled, and this is she's a published author now. She likes to tell people. So
yeah,
congratulations
that's cool.
to Tina.
It's nice that we have the power to help people achieve their dreams.
Yes. Yes. Indeed.
Yeah. Now we're working on our own dreams, which is, you know, sell more than a few copies of our own books. But
we can. I saw my quarterly royalty.
All right.
That's not
going
to repair my roof.
Yeah, I hear that. Or the chimney.
Yeah,
a Light
chimney.
In the Darkness, Words and Poems of Encouragement by Tina Reese. Congratulations, Tina. You made our number 2 slot this week. That gets us to number 1. Number 1's a hardcover edition by a Country Music Hall of Fame drummer, Mark Herndon. The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. I got a feeling that Herndon's going to be riding real high on these lists again for a little while because his country music singer star wife, Leah Seawright, has just put out some new product. She's got new songs out there. She's got a new video on YouTube for her song Red, White, Black, and Blue, I believe it's called. And if you're not hip to her, check that out. Leah, L-E-A-H, Seawright, S-E-A-W-R-I-G-H-T. That's the wife of Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon. He doesn't talk about her in his memoir because this memoir covers up until the part in his life when he found her, but it's still a great book. Congratulations,
yeah.
Mark Herndon. You've made number 1.
All right. Listeners, I know some of you can't make this show on Wednesday night. I know this because I see our archives, and we get a big boost in the archives a day or two after the program. And so I'm going to point you in the direction to the archives. So if you can't make these live shows, you can at least catch up with your favorite episodes or your favorite authors or whatever. If you miss one, here's how you can find it.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archives on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
Sarah Jameson, a nurse at County Central Hospital, survives an accident that kills her 2 young children. While comatose, she travels into the heavenly realm where she visits with her precious little ones. She is given a choice, return to her husband, Jack, or remain with her children in their celestial home. Jack was not in the fated automobile. Though he heard the crash and ran to help, there was nothing he could do. He suffers the loss of his children, fears the potential demise of his wife, and wonders about his own sanity. His struggle with PTSD from his military years has returned, and at times, he cannot distinguish between the present and the past. An accident tragically changed the lives of this young family, but out of sorrow emerges unexpected blessings. You'll be deeply moved by Gwen M. Plano's new novel, The Soul Whisperer's Decision. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. The Soul Whisperer's Decision by Gwen M. Plano.
Hi, I'm Mary Margaret Fanson. My grandmother, Big Mama, calls me Sassy. I've been a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church all my life. I never knew why everyone was so proud to be AME. Then I met Gerald in Children's Church. He thinks he knows everything about being AME. I have to learn a lot more just to show him. B.A. Johnson has been writing a series of books about me, my brother, and my friends, with lots of colorful drawings. We also explore bullying, friendship, inclusion, death, grief, forgiveness, and more. Sassy discovers the AME Church is about me learning about our church and something terrible that happened in Charleston. The second book, Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret, is about discovering the story of our church's founder's family and one hero in particular. These and more Sassy books are published by Fresh Ink Group in laminated hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats available worldwide. Come on, join me and discover why I can say I'm proud to be AME.
All right, so we're going to jump over to Twitter here real quick. Hit that refresh there. And all right, so Verwayne Greenhall, he is out there in the audience listening tonight, as he is each week. And he promotes the heck out of the show leading up to each day of the week, leading up to the show. So we are grateful and appreciative. Tonight he's tweeting, "Excuse me, teacher, a quick trip to the corner store went from its anticipated 10-minute length to a 30-minute trip. Some people need to learn how to park, LOL. We are settling down and ready to listen." I've been there with Verwayne. I feel you, brother. I feel you. All right. A.G. Fletcher has been writing for nearly 10 years. He has done everything from screenplays to novels, poetry, research articles, and journalistic articles. He has found that over time he wanted his writing to be focused on how the human spirit is tested, whether it causes positive or negative change in the character or the reader. He has a bachelor's degree in creative writing from Kwantlen Polytechnic University, which helped him build his foundation as a writer and gave back his love of reading that he had lost for so long. However, his education is not what made him the writer he is today. It's life, his perseverance, the value he sees in himself, and the value he sees in others, and the value others see in him. With that, welcome back to the show, A.G. Fletcher.
Hey, Andre.
Hello. Thank you for having me again.
All right. Yeah, this is, I believe, your third time on the show, so you're getting old friend of the show.
Yep.
Yeah,
have a jacket.
Indie bookstores again, or meet the authors again.
Yeah, those are good shows there, too.
I did their Australian show.
You did what?
I did their Down Under interview.
Oh, okay. G'day there.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get people caught back up to where are you from, and where all have you lived, and where are you currently living?
I was born in Vancouver, BC, British Columbia in Canada. And then when I was 3, my dad moved him, my mother and I, to Aldergrove so he can be closer to work. And then my sister came into the picture as another member of the family. And then we were in this little cul-de-sac, called a little neighborhood, and then moved out to a bigger house, and that's where I've been so far. As for my writing journey, it's been really continuing to evolve into something different. When I wrote Boone and Jack, my fantasy series, in which I'll know tomorrow or Friday if I got a fantasy series award, It's been one of those writing journeys where you start not knowing anything and you find your way through it. And then after I finished that, I wrote Black Rose Cocoon, which came out a couple months ago. And now I'm gearing up for my new fantasy series, which I'll be working on next month, called Pendulum of Krazul. Krazul is spelled K-H-R-A-Z-U-L. I don't really know what the premise is in terms of detail, but the basic premise is there's this alien pharaoh called Krazul, in which there's basically a long foot race to find this entity, and whoever makes first contact with it will set alternate versions of a apocalyptic event in which either way will cause a lot of changes in the place that I'll be creating, like the land and everything, and someone will have to try and battle this darkness.
Hmm. Okay.
So let's back up a little bit and talk about A.G. Fletcher a little bit more. You mentioned that you grew up in British Columbia. What kind of kid were you up there? I mean, did they have books in Canada way back then? Were you into reading, writing? When did you start telling stories?
I think when I was seriously reading was when I was 11. There was this little library in a small school that I was at that had maybe like 90 kids in there. And I read Harry Potter in French. And that was my first introduction to reading, like beyond, you know, being a five-year-old and learning how to read. And that's when it just didn't stop, where I was just so fascinated by this new world that you could really sink your teeth in and let the wonder wash over you. And over time, I saw how you can really be really engaged in something outside of yourself. And that's really what over time created that interest in writing, because at first I didn't know what I wanted. I was just reading books because I felt like it. But when I saw the value that people get from books, I wanted to, I guess, be on the other side of things.
Okay. Now, in the bio, I read that you had taken the writing class that kind of restored your love for reading. It gave you back your love for reading. What took your love for reading away?
I think it was the end of my journey as a screenwriter, where I saw it wasn't going anywhere and was losing my motivation for storytelling, then became a personal trainer to try and keep myself interested in any kind of purpose. But then when I saw that it wasn't really going anywhere and I wasn't really interested, I took like a basic day job working in a factory, a glass factory. And since that made me feel like an ant in a cog of other people, I applied for school to complete my bachelor's degree. And when I was in school, I realized that through homework of having to read books for educational and leisure purposes, that what I was actually missing in terms of what killed my motivation to read is that need to feel connected to the book. Like I think I just lost interest in feeling connected to something that is in a different world. So that's why I had that time where I just didn't want to separate myself from reality.
You ever go back and look at things that you liked earlier, like maybe Harry Potter, for example, and just remind yourself what it is that excited you so much and opened the new worlds for you and all that?
Yeah, I just finished rereading the series yesterday.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Man. Yeah, I've done that. There's certain books that just stick in my head for years, for decades, for, you know, hundreds of years, if you consider how old I am. And every now and then, you just got to go back I have this thing where, so I'm just going to go read that one chapter that was my favorite chapter. Yeah. It's like trying to watch one scene in a favorite movie. It doesn't happen. You watch the rest of the movie, you know. So I wound up reading the rest of the book. But people, we're talking to A.G. Fletcher. We're calling him Andre because we're familiar with him. But if you want to find his books out there, it's A.G. Fletcher. Call in. Give us a comment or a question. Talk to him. 516-453-9902. And we're going to roll a couple of commercials.
Hi, I'm Mary Margaret.
Wrong one.
Wrong one.
That bounce. Yeah.
A shocking proposal that changes everything. Desperate to honor his father's dying wish, Lakin Martin vows to do whatever it takes to save the family farm. Once the Army discharges him following World War II, Lakin returns to Missouri to find his legacy in shambles and in jeopardy. A foreclosure notice from the bank doubles the threat. He appeals to the local banker for more time, a chance to rebuild, plant, and harvest crops, and time to heal far away from the noise of bombs and gunfire. But the banker firmly denies his request. Now what? Then the banker makes an alternative proposition. Marry his unwanted daughter, Sarah Beth, in exchange for a 2-year extension. Out of options, money, and time, Lakin agrees to the bargain. Now he has 2 years to make a living off the land while he shares his life with a stranger. Read A Beggar's Bargain, Book 1 in the Bargainer series by best-selling author Jan Sykes. Available worldwide from multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. A Beggar's Bargain by Jan Sykes.
Discover interstellar drama with Robert G. Willis Croft's science fiction series, The Oort Chronicles. In the first chronicle, Icicle, a tensor matrix, Braxton Thorpe has discovered a threat to the entire solar system, but he has a problem. He's dead. Frozen at death, he awakens to find himself uploaded into an electronic matrix. Exploring the larger global net, he discovers the Oort, a distributed electronic entity older than humanity, with an unnerving secret. Aliens wiped out nearly all life on Earth once and are coming back to do it again. The mathematical entity that is Thorpe has to find a way to convince humans of the threat and in time to do something about it. But how? And what? In the second Oort Chronicle, The Oort Federation to the Stars, Braxton Thorpe passes the Federation chairmanship to former U.S. President John Butler. Thorpe's group offers humanity virtual immortality, but Isidore Orlov and his Udachni Enterprises oppose their every move. Phoenix terraforms Mars for more living space, but the Mars Reds prove formidable resistors. In this tense space adventure, Thorpe, his team, and Max the Tabby Cat travel to Proxima Centauri and beyond to the Aster system, 84 light years distant. Will Thorpe bring together humans and Asterians in their quest for intergalactic travel? Will long life prove more than mere humans can handle? In the third Oort Chronicle, Ran, a civilization in hiding. Humans commence a voyage of discovery to the cold spot in the cosmic microwave background. Their first stop is the planet Arcan, orbiting Ran in the constellation Eridanus, where they discover an incipient spacefaring Saurian civilization that has hidden itself from the rest of the galaxy. Arcan has three ruling nations, a fascist dictatorship, a primitive theocracy, and a free market republic. The humans are drawn into a rebellion to overthrow the fascist tyrant and then help thwart the theocratic prophet's ambitions to subjugate Arcan. Told entirely from the Arcan perspective, Ran centers on the human aliens' desire to integrate Arcans into their growing Oort Federation. In the fourth Oort Chronicle, Cade, a lost civilization. Starship Andromeda stops at the Cade Triple Star System on its voyage of discovery and stumbles on a derelict Dyson sphere. The starship is attacked by microbots, scavenging one part of the sphere to repair another. They map the sphere and discover several primitive races inside: humanoid, feline, and saurian. The explorers discover that the Dyson Sphere's star is about to produce a super flare that could destroy all life and even the sphere itself. The explorers mount a major rescue effort to save the Uploads and sapient races. Robert G. Williscroft's series, The Oort Chronicles, is available in jacketed hardcovers, softcovers, and all ebook formats, proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Robert G. Williscroft's The Oort Chronicles.
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Get out there and grab your copies. All right. We are talking to author A.G. Fletcher. And Andre, I understand you got a new day job. So what's this job about, and do you like it?
I started a hotel maintenance technician job in January. I'd say what I like about it best is that it's a very relaxed environment, and I'm still learning new things for household fixing, I guess. I took it because I saw how bad it was getting at my previous job, which was at a zoo. And the reason being is that there was a new addition to the chain of command, which was a director of operations. And the way he was approaching people was scaring so many people away from working there that it would just became a domino effect. And I saw how much pressure it was putting on a lot of departments, especially mine, which was maintenance. And I was like, you know what, this is just killing me. And I don't want to be in a place where I'm being undervalued no matter what I do and no matter how I try to follow the rules. So I just left. And then I saw this hotel job not as me running away from my problems, more like getting into a better place for my mental health and still learning things while I work on whatever tactics I can use for a legitimate career while I continue to work on my writing career.
Have your jobs influenced your writing at all? I mean, do you have like a zookeeper in one of your Boone and Shock books or maybe hotel maintenance person?
I kind of do. Like for Boone and Shock, which book that I do, the fourth one, and the fourth Boone and Shock is called Citrus Moonlight. There is a scene where there was an abandoned zoo, or even the mentioning of why it was abandoned. So I did a little reference to some issues that we had to deal with at the zoo that caused some image issues, I guess, that were rectified. But I just did the opposite where I said that this caused the zoo to shut down. But for a hotel, it wasn't on purpose, but I guess it kind of became a coincidence. For Black Rose Cocoon, one of the characters, Paolo, who is a hotel doorman, I don't really show anyone in maintenance, but I do show the different functions that I understood of hotels before working at one. So I guess that's as close as I could get for referencing my job.
Yeah, now you started to tell us about Black Rose Cocoon earlier. This is the one that you're currently writing?
No, it's out.
It's
this one's out?
It was published March 7th.
March 7th, so this is just a new release. Great. So, sell it to us. Tell us about it. Why would we want to read this book?
Well, it's basically me flipping the crime novel genre on its head, where instead of the thrill of the chase of getting this killer, which, I mean, like, it's still there, but I don't make that the real focus. I do a four-character rotation of four people that become people of interest to the killer. And as we uncover who this killer is and how these people are becoming people of interest to this killer. We learn about their complicated history, relationships with family members and friends, coworkers, how victim family members become psychologically damaged after everything is done. So really, it's me exploring the things that I didn't really see in crime novels and trying to create a conversation for the readers in which when you read a crime novel, you're not really being introduced to the people affected by this murderer, more so in the sense that you're seeing the action. And I think that that kind of takes away the psychology of it all. And to me, psychology should be on the forefront of crime novels. And I'm sure that there are some books that do that, but the ones that I read didn't really have a focus on that. So I focus on the psychology of not just the people involved, but the killer too, because I want to make sure that the readers understand that I'm not humanizing a character or a monster. I'm giving their malice more tangible reason and opportunity that the killer is trying to find, which makes them that all the more terrifying.
Okay. Now, this being your most recent book, and like you said, you're kind of setting the genre on its head. You're kind of doing something a little different. Where did the idea for that come from?
I've given different answers for every podcast interview I've done, but it actually came back to this interview I saw of Guillermo del Toro, one of the most well-recognized Mexican film directors.
Mm-hmm.
And he was promoting his movie or his adaptation of Pinocchio. And he was asked about his perspective on the relationship between life and death. And when he said that life can't begin unless it ends, and that it means you should see the beauty in death, that's really what inspired this story. And that's the focus of this is, I know this sounds a little weird, but it's essentially the celebration of having an expiration. That with this part of the cycle of life, we have the opportunity to maximize where we are in life and where we want to go.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, especially the expiration date, because we've seen stories where people live forever and they're miserable. They can't die. Mm-hmm. Look at the Anne Rice Vampire Chronicles. I mean, I've read all of those and other vampire books and things like that where this person can't die and they're not happy. They because you live forever, but not everybody else lives forever. And what happens is that everybody you care about is eventually going to die and you're going to keep going on. So, yeah, okay, I can see that cherishing an expiration date that one day it's, in this world, it's going to come to an end. So it's a good look at it,
The way I tried to capitalize on that theme or to really drive the message home, and this doesn't really spoil anything. It's kind of expected. Towards the end, when there is victim impact statements, I think, at least two chapters of just that, so that we get a diversity of release of pain caused by this murderer, via moms and daughters speaking up on the podium. And the reason why the second reason why I did that is I was watching impact statements for a recent murder. I don't know if you heard about this in Georgia, Wisconsin. Daryl Brooks,
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, for those who don't know, he had a life sentence for running people over in a parade. And,
yeah.
One of the impact statements I was watching was this mom who was talking, obviously shooken up, and she saw the killer being a real narcissist and rolling his eyes. And she went off on him for like 5 minutes straight. And the way she was looking at this killer made me like really chilly and uncomfortable. And I wanted to try to emulate that, because that's really hard to do when you're just an author trying to write something you don't know, but you do understand what pain is. So you try to understand someone else's pain, which is really hard to do. But that was really the core of this story, is diversity of pain and how do we deal with it.
So you're given a voice to the collateral damage.
Basically, yeah.
All right. Fantastic.
So that one's called Black Rose Cocoon, and it was just released in March by A.G. Fletcher. People, get out there and check that out, Black Rose Cocoon.
Yeah. Okay, we are talking with A.G. Fletcher, and we're going to do a couple of commercials here, but we are going to be right back. Listeners, if you've got a question or you got a comment, some pretty interesting stuff here, 516-453-9902. 516-453-9902. We'll be right back.
Dave Hooker here, longtime Tennessee sports writer, and I know that true Tennessee fans are celebrating the 25th anniversary of the legendary 1998 Tennessee Volunteers Championship season. Tell you what, you celebrate 98, I try to bring the full color photos and detail the transfer of power from Peyton Manning to Al Wilson, the preparation to win the first BCS National Championship, the locker room dynamics, and the challenges of a team rising above deep tragedy. Key plays include an interception, a fumble maybe against Arkansas, and a bit of trickeration. Also, there's that Florida game. I analyze the leadership, the strategies, and the players' commitment to each other, and share what we are still learning from this team even today. Discover what happened to those heroes of the gridiron and where they are now. Proudly published by the Fresh Ink Group, Celebrate 98 is available in all the digital forms, but you can also get your own soft cover or jacketed hardcover keepsake edition from booksellers worldwide. Want an autographed edition? Go to offthehooksports.com. That's offthehooksports.com, and I'll personalize it for you. Celebrate 98 is a collector's item and a cherished gift that belongs to all fans of college football and the Tennessee Volunteers.
I'm David Carroll, and I'm proud of my recent books, Chattanooga Radio and Television, Volunteer Bama Dog, and Hello Chattanooga, famous people who have visited the Tennessee Valley. Like many folks, I spend too much time on social media, but I put that time to good use. For years, I've been collecting social media misspellings, misinterpretations, and other mishaps, from tweets, text messages, even the signs you see at stores and on the highways. I've collected the funniest foul-ups in my latest book, I Won't Be Your Escape Goat, David Carroll's homemade social media blunders. I top them off with my own snarky comments, and they're illustrated by a talented artist, my friend Mike Salter. There are a lot of laugh-out-loud moments in the book, more than 400 of them. We all make mistakes, and sure, you can blame it on spell check, but maybe, just maybe, we didn't pay enough attention in English class. Either way, this book will bring a smile to your face or to the face of someone you love. We can all agree what the world needs now is laughter, and lots of it. I Won't Be Your Escape Goat, proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, in softcover, jacketed hardcover, and all ebook formats.
All right.
That's a fun book. And listeners, we're talking to Vancouver, Canada author A.G. Fletcher. Andre, tell us about your series, Boone and Jacques. You've got 5 books in that series. Is that right?
Yeah, Boone and Jacques has 5 books long. Each book has an award. First and last one have another one from Bookfest. So Bookfest and Literary Titan, I have gotten awards from those two companies. I don't know which day this week was starting today, but my series for the second time was a finalist for the Fantasy Series Award given by Chanticleer. So fingers crossed that I win. I was one of two in my subdivision, so a lot better than last time. It's I'm happy that it's still getting attention. You know, it's been a 4-year journey, and I wrote the last book maybe like a year or two ago, so I'm glad that it's still being relevant.
Well, who are Boone and Jack?
Boone and Jack are the main characters. They're two best friends that are 10 years old at the beginning of the story, living in a little urban town called Saddleton. And the way this story starts is there's a storm, and they go outside because they thought they saw something weird, and they fall into this underground bunker and feel this strange writing in the bunker, and they go through this little tunnel that they thought, oh, we're going to start an adventure, yay. But it's a tunnel that leads back to the house. So after that, everything kind of explodes, and adults become self-involved. They're caught in the middle of all this chaos. And then after that book, their journey becomes quite, I wouldn't say secluded, but the adults don't really help them get where they want to go. The journey just becomes chaotic, and they have to lean on each other and learn from one another and themselves to grow as people. And as they grow up, we see them change and try to evolve independently and go through loss and gain. And, of course, there's the whole fantasy element of creatures and kings and even queens, I think, too. One book is just a straight-up mystery novel with a hint of fantasy. But, yeah, basically the whole series has been a variety pack of fantasy genres.
Well, here's a writer's test for you. Can you name all five of them so that we can hear the titles and get excited?
Yeah, okay, so Boone and Jack 1 is Saddleton Secret. Book 2 is The Brothers' Odyssey. Book 3 is Saddleton Haunting. Book 4 is Citrus Moonlight. And the last book is Sahon, S-A-H-O-N, which is essentially a cosmic bridge slash entity between a sister planet called Theranosita and Earth.
Oh, I like the cover on that one, especially that leering at us with Mel. Yeah. So you enjoy writing Boone and Jack. Will there be more?
Not for this series, but there will be two more standalone novels with each character either as secondary characters or antagonists.
Oh, cool. All right, well, we're going to play the last of our commercials here, and we're talking to A.J. Flitcher. As soon as we come back, we're going to ask A.J. about his new project and learn how to get in touch with him. So stick around.
You're listening to The Voice of Indy.
In the Pruitt-Igoe slums of St. Louis in the 1960s, a heroin addict mother breaks her son's dolls and screams, "You are not a girl." However, no one can convince Stephanie to live as Stephen. Her mother pimps her out to a man who rapes and takes pictures of her. After finding her mother brutally murdered, she is placed in Christian foster care, where they also try to convince her to accept being male. Her mother's lover is sentenced to life in prison for the murder. Author of widely praised The Calling Dream, Carlisle Toms brings back famed televangelist Pastor Ronald Dennison in this unflinching sequel, Edge of Smoke. Dennison sets up a trust that allows a compassionate old neighbor to adopt Stephanie out of foster care. Still, she is violently bullied at school for identifying as female. The trust pays for transition surgery at 18, and she begins to live fully as a woman. Frightened by men, she remains a virgin until she falls in love with Jordan. But she runs into the man who abused her and remembers her childhood pledge to kill him. Will her lust for murdering the man who brutalized her as a child cause her to lose the man she loves? Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, The Calling Dream, and now, Edge of Smoke, can be found anywhere and shipped everywhere in jacketed hardcover and softcover editions, or downloaded in all ebook formats. Edge of Smoke by Carlisle Toms.
All right. We are talking to author A.G. Flitcher. Andre, you started to tell us a little bit about your new fantasy series that you're getting ready to start. Tell us a little more about this. What's it going to be called, and you know what all goes on with this series?
All right, it's called Pendulum of Krazul. Reason why I called it that is it's essentially a foot race / ticking clock to find this alien pharaoh or entity called Krazul. And what I made sure of in terms of the premise I'm building is that it's not your typical dark versus light magic. It's just dark magic that the population of this land has grown to be proud of. But the main characters, I don't know their names yet, we're still going to develop that next month. But essentially, the reason why they're in the picture and in the forefront is that the father, who remarried for the fourth time, married a woman from what he deems to be a good, strong magic family. And when he has these two babies, he notices that they're part of an old prophet that is connected to this Krazul. And when these two babies become teenagers, which is what I'm going to start with, their actual beginning age for the series, about like 14, 15, they'll be somewhat rebellious and will try to actually use the dark magic to battle against whatever prophet that they deem wrong. But what I'll also do to create tension between the brother and sister is one will be for the dark magic and prophet, and one will be against it. And the adults will play mind games with them, and it'll really be about how will these two characters be the voice of correcting this this prophet.
Now,
when can we
you...
expect that?
Sorry?
When can we expect that to come out?
First book, I'd say late 2024, early 2025, because unlike Boone and Jack, I'll be spending at least a month or two actually creating the universe and then starting to write. So it'll be a long process for at least the first book.
Cool. So are you gonna be like outlining this story before writing
yeah.
it? So you okay. All right. Good. We'd like to hear that.
Yeah, because you see with Boone and Jack, that series, as proud as I am of that series, it was never meant to be like my centerpiece that I'm proud of. Like I was like, I want my Harry Potter. Not in terms of replicating it, but in terms of my crowning jewel. That's basically what I'm saying, yeah.
All right,
we've been talking to author A.G. Flitcher. Andre, do you have any advice for other authors out there?
Keep putting books out instead of focusing on one and being a perfectionist. Because there's a lot of people out there that, and it's okay to be perfectionist, but there's also, you know, you have to be at a certain point where you have to trust yourself enough to put your work out there, and also, most importantly, trust your editor to polish it up and make it look good. You spend too much time on one project, and you are 10 years down the road before it gets published, you're kind of burnt out. So, you know, trust yourself and also understand that when you put your book out there, regardless of how long it took you to do it, no one's really going to notice you until you've had enough work out there that you develop a sizable, you know, little group of people that will start telling other people about your books.
Yeah, build that following. Okay, Andre, how can listeners contact you? Do you have email? Do you have a website? Social media?
I have social media, yep. Yeah, everyone can reach me at the same handle, AG Fletcher, for Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube.
All right. Okay, all right. Well, it's been a blast having you back on the show again, Andre. And the invitation goes out again. When you have the first book of your new series coming out, let us know. We'll promote it in the newsletter, and we'll have you back on the show again.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
All right. That's A.G. Fletcher, everybody. Get out there and check out his books. And make sure you come back next week for the podcast. Keep an eye on your newsletter. If you're not getting that newsletter on Wednesday mornings, make sure you subscribe. It's got the link for tonight's show, for that night's show every week. Next week, we're going to have Sue Coletta. She's a member of Story Empire, and she's going to be on talking about her books. Who we got after that, Beam?
After that, we're going to reach down to Brazil and talk to Mike Deodato, who is a artist and an author who worked with DC Comics and Marvel Comics, and he worked on all your favorites back in the 90s, literally. Then he got married and started a family and took some time off, and he's back in the game, and we're going to talk to him. So tune in for that. And after that,
On May 15th, we've got B.A. Johnson, the author of the illustrated chapter book Sassy Series, talking about her new book, Pandemonium and Puzzle Town. That is going to be followed by...
And that's going to be followed by Abigail A. Chugany and Mary L. Smalls. They are the authors of a nonfiction historical book on the First Ladies of South Carolina State University. And they themselves are former First Ladies. Their husbands were the president of that university. So that's going to be a really interesting change up from the fiction stuff. So tune in for that. And after that,
we're back to novelist again with Colleen M. Story. So we're looking forward to meeting her for the first time. And we've got a few more on tap. What else is coming?
Yeah, the following Colleen Story, we're going to have Cheryl Carpinello. She will be the first in June, and we'll be talking about her Young Knights audiobook and the book and the story itself, the series itself. So tune in for that. And we got Angie Birmingham on tap coming up, and others lined up. I just got to make some dates, set some dates for them, and keep, like Stephen said, subscribe to the newsletter. You'll know all this stuff in advance.
Yeah, we need to get the Herndons back in here too, talking about that new music. All right. It's, again, been a pleasure talking to you, A.G. Fletcher. Thanks for stopping by.
Happy to be here. It was awesome.
Yeah, and we'll see everybody next week.
See you next week, everybody.
See ya.
You've been a part of Voice of Indie, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.